A reading from Romans. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Matthew. Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord. This gospel reading was the text for the very first sermon I had to preach in seminary 40 years ago. I never hear that piece of Matthew's gospel without thinking of that. I still have the original manuscript, which is always interesting, if not amusing, for me to look at. Learning the craft of preaching was a very intense process. I spent weeks on that sermon. At the beginning of the semester, I was randomly assigned the text, and over the next weeks, I had to present research and themes and outlines. I had to prepare the manuscript in a particular format on a typewriter with specific indentations and words per page and highlighted words and margin notes. When I finally preached the sermon in the seminary chapel to the faculty and the student body, it was videotaped. Then I had to sit with a group of faculty and students and watch the video with copies of the manuscript as they evaluated and critically analyzed it. I probably have not spent that much time on a sermon since. But I wouldn't preach it now. 40 years later, I'm not the same person, and the church isn't the same church, and the world isn't the same world. 40 years ago, when I wrote that sermon, I was a very young newlywed. I was living the American dream. I can tell when I look at that old sermon that I didn't know very much about being burdened or heavy laden. Maybe the biggest burden I was experiencing was that sermon. Since then, I've been through a long bone disease with multiple surgeries. My wife suffered some major injuries that required multiple surgeries. I've had some very stressful times professionally. Both of my parents died. Both of my in-laws died. My brother died. My son died. Today is actually the anniversary of his death. That I can still believe and talk about Jesus giving rest to the burdened and heavy laden has a lot more integrity to it now than it did then. I know how heavy the burdens of life can be, and I know that loving Jesus is not a burden, and that loving Jesus makes all the burdens of my life easier to bear. I don't get to exchange the burdens of life for the easy yoke and light burden of Jesus, which are weird descriptions when you think about it anyway, an easy yoke and a light burden. Life is always going to have burdens, some of them heavier than you think you can bear. But because I know that God loves us and only wants the best for us, I have hope. I have hope for those who have died. I have hope for God's future. I have hope for the rest that Jesus promised. I have hope for abundant life. And that hope makes all the other burdens lighter and bearable. I know it. I experience it in my life. I can proclaim it to you with absolute certainty. If I hadn't ever accepted Jesus' invitation to come to him, I would never be able to lift the burdens of this life and journey on. 40 years ago, when I wrote that sermon, the church was different. At least the church I knew. Everybody went to church. And the church had a favored and honored place in communities and society. We weren't prepared for or even thinking about the growing phenomenon of an unchurched population. Our primary means of church growth in those days was having babies. We didn't need to know how to operate businesses or market a product. We didn't have to compete with sports and recreation and work obligations for church participation. I heard a seminary professor say recently that what my generation of pastors was taught in seminary was for a church that no longer exists. The primary theme in ELCA seminaries now is missional church. The emphasis in the missional church is exterior, the community and the world, not interior. The congregation isn't a place to escape the world and hang out with faithful people like ourselves. The congregation is where we receive the gifts of God's grace and are prepared to go out and give that grace to the world. The goal isn't how many people you can get to join you. The goal is how many ways you can show and tell the world about God's love. The goal isn't that we have achieved rest for our souls through our faith in Jesus, but to offer rest to the burdened and heavy laden lives of others who don't know what Jesus offers. That gives the church a lot more integrity. When our mission continues the mission of Jesus in the world. 40 years ago, the world was different. It may be that my worldview was just smaller and rosier, but I don't think so. I knew people were sinful. I don't believe that there are any new sins today that haven't been around for all time. Evil and violence have always been a part of humanity. But I do think that now there are a lot more ways to enact evil and violence, and on a much larger scale. And I can't avoid knowing what's going on in the world. I can remember when television was censored, and I didn't have a cell phone or a computer or an iPad. Not only didn't I have to see pictures of what my friends were having for dinner, I didn't have to constantly see the gruesome violence and depravity going on in the world. And it also wasn't constantly fed to me as entertainment. It's really not all that great to know so much. We've had to acknowledge that not all of our government officials are concerned about the common good. We've had to acknowledge that not all congregations are safe places. We've had to acknowledge that there is incredible injustice all around us. We've had to acknowledge that danger may be lurking very nearby. It's a heavy load to carry. I'm not the same person I was 40 years ago. The church isn't the same church it was 40 years ago. The world isn't the same world that it was 40 years ago. But Jesus' offer of rest has not changed. I need that message now more than ever before. The church needs that message now more than ever before. The world needs that message now more than ever before. Amen.